Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, Sound Opinions listeners, if you support us on Patreon, you get to listen to our podcast ad-free on Patreon.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and this week we're highlighting some of our favorite albums of the year so far. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot. I'm going to start us off. We're going sort of in reverse order in our top tens. We're not able to play all those records. They're on our website. You can find it. Find our top tens on soundopinions.org.
Even though we're only a week into July and we have a lot of 2022 to come, these are the albums we're loving so far at this point.
Who knows where these records are going to end up at the end of the year. But for now, this is the stuff that's really moving us. I wanted to shout out to The Smile as my number 7 record so far. A light for attracting attention. Who are The Smile? Well, you probably have heard of most of these guys. They're in the band Radiohead. And Tom York, Johnny Greenwood. Interestingly enough, the members of Radiohead have all done their various solo projects outside of the Radiohead umbrella. But this is the first time that York and Greenwood have worked together outside of the context of Radiohead. They've also brought in Nigel Godrich as the producer, you know, who does all the Radiohead albums.
Yeah.
So in essence, we're seeing the core of the Radiohead team working on this record. The wild card is the drummer, Skinner, who's in many fine bands in the UK, most notably Sons of Kemet, one of those groundbreaking jazz ensembles in that country. And they've also brought in the London Contemporary Orchestra, you know, just for a little sweetening. And it really is a wonderful record from that standpoint, the combination of sounds. I mean, you know, if this record had come out as the sequel to A Moon-Shaped Pool, the last Radiohead record in 2016, everybody would have said, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
It sounds like Radiohead.
It's been a long time since we had a Radiohead record.
It has. And you know, at the same time, I think Radiohead has sort of splintered off into these little subcultures in terms of the kind of stuff that they're interested in. But here, I think what we're seeing is a song-oriented project, a more song-oriented project than perhaps we're even used to from even Radiohead itself. And that's what I like about it. You know, the usual dystopian nightmares from Tom York. You know, a lot of these songs, in fact, were sort of percolating in the Radiohead universe for years, if not a decade or more. And yet finding beauty in amid those nightmare scenarios, the vulnerability, uneasiness mixed with accessibility. I mean, that's kind of Radiohead's thing, right? That's what they're doing really well on this record. There's lots of piano, fingerpicked guitars from Greenwood, very nuanced rhythm patterns. Skinner is a really, really good drummer. Phil Selway is a very, very good
drummer.
But Skinner sets the tone here. If you listen to a track called The Opposite, you'll hear this Afrobeat feel that a lot of Radiohead songs don't have. And that's helping a lot in terms of expanding the sound.
Number
I want to play a track from The Smiles' debut record, A Light for Attracting Attention. Here's a track called You Will Never Work in Television Again on Sound Opinions. That is, You Will Never Work in Television Again, Jim DeRogatis.
Well, that's true. We had a television foray some years ago and haven't done much since. I'm glad you brought some light to that record by The Smile, Greg, because it's one we haven't reviewed so far, showing up at number 7 on your top 10 list. I'm going to go to number 6 on mine with another record we haven't reviewed yet, Havasu, by Pedro the Lion. We did, however, sit down a while back at one of the Goose Island events for a live taping and interview with David Bazan and the band. And that's going to be an extraordinary listen, mm-hmm. Let me tell you. You know, nobody knows everything. Not even you, all right? I had listened to Pedro the Lion 2 or 3 times over the years as they put out their latest recordings. I think there's 6 Pedro records at this point. There's 5 David Bazan recordings. And, you know, every once in a while, a trusted set of ears says, you know, you need to reassess here, Jim, right? Or Greg, right? And Andrew Gill, our producer, said, Jim, you got to pay some more attention to Pedro the Lion. And Andrew was absolutely right, instantly becoming one of my favorite live tapings ever. One of my favorite songs ever. I mean, like literally top 10 is on this new Havasu album by Pedro the Lion. It's called First Drum Set. Mm-hmm. And it's about a kid whose life is literally saved by playing the drums. It resonates with me, let me tell you.
I wonder why.
You know, discovering the drums and playing along to Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin records in my mom's basement, her china cabinet above rattling, and her never minding. I mean, her line was always, honey, at least I know where you are. David is a master, novelistic in the tiny details, the literary details he captures, primarily from his own life. Havasu is about a move by the family that was disruptive and anxiety-causing for him when he was, you know, coming of age. The last album was called Phoenix. He is writing this Bildungsroman novel about his upbringing in the form of one album at a time, with these beautiful, beautiful, super melodic songs charting his discoveries. And this is fascinating because he was raised in a very strict evangelical upbringing. And, you know, part of it is him coming to terms with art teaching him other ways and being more empathetic and tolerant of people than some of the evangelicals he was going to church with.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't hate people of color or LGBTQ plus people, and he had curiosity about the broader world, and he thought that was the message of the God that he worshipped. And you know, these heavy ideas are not delivered in a preachy way. They're delivered in the way that a great novelist or short story writer draws these little details from their lives and helps us recognize ourselves, mm-hmm. You know? And the message comes home, which is like, yeah, I like this guy. I understand this guy.
Right.
He knows me, right? You know, so thank you, Andrew, for really opening my ears. It's not that I didn't like Pedro the Lion before. You know, his voice, super emotive, can be a little bit much at first, and then you realize why he sings the way he does, because mm-hmm. He's dealing with these heavy concepts. And, you know, as much as I love First Drum Set, I love every song on this record. And you will, too, when you hear Pedro the Lion play live on Sound Opinions. My heart. All right, that's one of the greatest songs ever. First drum set, Pedro the Lion. It's like he wrote that for me. Thank you, David.
Well, it's a great song, and you know, when he did it live, I was so happy he did that. It was a very emotional moment for everybody in the room. I think it was a powerful song. You know, that everything about it, every line resonated. Speaking of emo, I got to say, Saba, Chicago artist, there's a little bit of emo in his new record, Few Good Things. It's my number six record of the year so far. I think Saba's work is extraordinary over the years. He's become one of the leading lights of the hip-hop scene, not just in Chicago, but I think nationally, as a rapper, a songwriter, a producer, and a performer. What a career he's carved out in his short life. 2018, he wrote this incredibly moving record, Care For Me, which was basically a concept album, a tribute to his late cousin and fellow Pivot Gang member, John Walt. Pivot Gang is Saba's crew in Chicago. They're a collective, a hip-hop collective that he has been part of since he was a teenager. It was a very powerful, moving record, and I think on Few Good Things, he wanted to sort of lift that heaviness and make a record that was breezier, bouncier, more pop-oriented. And if you just listen to this record on the surface, the hooks are coming at you one after another. You want to dance to this record. It feels light. It feels breezy. And then you listen to the lyrics and you realize Saba's dealing with some stuff here. He's talking about this whole issue, especially when you're a young African-American man. You've made it, but you're always feeling like you have to look over your shoulder. There's not quite this sense of security that maybe you get as in mainstream society, mm-hmm. mainstream white society in our country. And it's a very powerful point that he doesn't. It's not about complaining or self-pity. It's just the reality, this primal fear in a song like Fearmonger, that if you've never had it, you can never feel secure. You're always feeling like, where's the next paycheck going to come from? Will I have enough money to support myself, my family, my friends? A song like Soldier, he talks about fatherhood, not letting your guard down so that you can be there for your child when your child grows up. These are genuine fears and anxieties that, going through as somebody who grew around and was able to survive some of the gang culture that was in his neighborhood when he was a kid. And grew beyond it, you really can't leave that behind. We hear some of the same anxieties peeking through the Kendrick Lamar record, those kind of things that never quite leave you. And the title track, I think, really kind of ties it together. Glass half full, the other half was the emptiness. We turned a bunch of nothing to abundance. So he understands where he's come and what he's gone beyond, but at the same time not being able to get beyond it completely. Here's a title track from Few Good Things, my number six record from Saba on Sound Opinions. The following days I grew my dreads like I was part Jamaican. Know the journey waits and it's a lonely one, they'll call them crazy. Because believing in yourself not often celebrated. People projecting a mirror image that is merely hatred. The fear he faces is the same as me and Pierre Jason. All truth, I don't lie. Like Shakira shaking, iridescent. People show their colors, I assume they true. Bad things coming threes, good things coming soon. That is Saba with Few Good Things, my number six album of the year so far. Jim, what you got next?
I'm at number five, Greg. Everything Was Beautiful by Spiritualized, the ninth studio album by Jason Pierce. I think when there's a band that you've been fans of for a very long time, at least I've seen this for you and me, it's like almost like we've told that story, we've thought about that music, we've played that music, championed it. There's no surprises left, and there's never a shortage of music to cover on this show or anywhere else. And I was sleeping on Everything Was Beautiful. Oh, another mm-hmm. Jason Pierce record, ninth of his career. Mind you, I'd been fans of Spaceman 3, his first band in the 80s. I've been fans of everything Spiritualized did all through the 90s. And then sometimes you realize, wait a minute, I may be overlooking something great here. And there are still plenty of listeners, I'm sure, who don't even know this band. That incredible, hypnotic, slow, insinuating, super psychedelic music. Rarely has a band been better titled, spiritualized. Yeah. There is a journey toward the white light, spiritual element to this psychedelia. Over the course of previous records, Jason Pierce has experimented with bringing in gospel, with bringing in free jazz like Coltrane, with bringing in even little touches of country. I would say the album to start with will always be Ladies and Gentlemen, We Are Floating in Space. And this album may be number two. In the opening track, Always Together With You, Pierce intentionally throws back to his masterpiece, Ladies and Gentlemen, We're Floating in Space, in the way it has this flowering opening that starts very simple and then builds, even the voice in the distance whispering, inviting us into this recording. We get all of the elements that he has visited in the past, but in one place. There was the spiritualized gospel record. There's a spiritualized free jazz record. We're experiencing all the different experiments he's done. You know, like everybody else, locked up during COVID, feeling lonely, feeling isolated and bored, and went in the studio and played almost all the instruments himself and made this fantastic 7-song record. I love the way Let It Bleed for Iggy name checks both Iggy Pop and the Stones, of course, and brings in this heavy blues element. I love Crazy, the country song, but I got to play that opening track, Always Together With You. If you think you've heard everything spiritualized can do, well, maybe you have, but here it is in one place, and man, it still sounds great. Always Together With You from Spiritualized's 9th album, Everything Is Beautiful. Spiritualized, Always Together With You, album number 9, Everything Was Beautiful.
Good stuff, Jim. Glad to hear Jason Pierce is still, producing at a high level.
Yeah, and devoted, you know. I mean, that's a long career, 3 decades of space rock.
He's stunning. When we return, more of our favorite albums of 2022 so far. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, lemonade, shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. You know, every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
They're all good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, you know, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island, so we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. And we are back. This week, we're sharing the albums that we've loved through the first half of this year. Mr. Cott, you are up next.
Jim, sometimes you just got to get up and dance, you know, and this is the record that's doing it for me right now, KOG and Zongo Brigade, Zone 6 Ajiji. KOG, Kweku Saki of Ghana, now living in England, is the driving force here. It's a high-energy group, the Zongo Brigade, but KOG is the mastermind. And I guess the best way to describe it is sort of Afrofusion music. This is a kaleidoscope of different sounds from a couple of continents at least. We're talking about indigenous music, the stuff that he grew up with in Ghana, as well as West Africa. hip-hop, a little bit of, a lot of jazz, actually, rock, reggae, funk. It's a pretty amazing combo of sounds, but it's all song-oriented and all built around the idea that dancing is a good thing. It's a great way of overcoming all we've had to go through in terms of struggle. Obviously, you know, in Ghana, they've had their issues. When I talk about some of the issues that he's talking about immigration, which is a gigantic issue in England right now, obviously. And there's a song called Immigration on this record that addresses it directly, an incredible vocal tour de force for him. A song like Hiwali, where he talks about the path of the indigenous people that he grew up with in Africa, urging his maker to give him the power and strength to succeed, to go beyond these roots. So he's basically talking about his journey from Africa to England and what it took to get where he is today.
And the broader implications, Greg. A lot of political science writing lately has looked at the legacy of imperialism from the Victorian era all the way through Churchill, and England is really dealing with this now in a way that maybe we aren't in the United States.
Well, and KOG's taking it head on here. What it meant to grow up in Africa and be around this amazing rhythmic music that he is now updating in his new home with this amazing band of British musicians. It's a melting pot of music, and I think it's expressive, just the very idea of it. You know, it sort of reminds me a little bit of Sly and the Family Stone. Just looking at that band on a stage performing, you get a vision of this is what America could be in its best moments. And I think KOG is envisioning the same kind of thing with Zongo Brigade and this debut record. Here's a track from it. It's called Ebenezer from KOG and Zongo Brigade on Sound Opinions, my number 5 record of the year so far.
Africa, 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 the people they want to know. Give me the shelter, give me the water, the children they want to grow. See the corruption, no more employment, tell me who got the door. The people for right.
That is Ebenezer from KOG and Zongo Brigade's Zone 6 Ijiji. That is my number 5 record of the year so far. And if you want to dance, this is a record for you.
Well, good for you mastering those pronunciations. I went back and listened to our review of Jack White's latest solo album, the 4th of his career, Fear of the Dawn. And I remain more convinced than ever that you were just wrong, wrong, wrong about this record. I said when we reviewed it that it seems like a lot of people have wanted Jack White to stay in the narrow lane, the brilliant lane that he paved with the White Stripes, right? All right, garage rock take on the blues coming out of Detroit, great stuff, right? I've liked some of the other excursions more than others, Raconteurs I can take and leave, Dead Weather I loved. But Jack, as a solo artist, I think has really tried to experiment and to redefine himself and to talk about, I am not only what you think I am. You know, the new album, Fear of the Dawn, ends with this track, Shedding My Velvet. It's about deer getting rid of their antlers and growing new ones and regeneration. I think that's the theme of his entire career. Fear of the Dawn, what's that about? There's a track called Eosophobia. Mm-hmm. It's a morbid fear of the dawn and daylight.
The sun goes up. The sun goes down. I don't fear you.
were very proud that Jack taught you a new word.
Yeah, I was happy to learn the new word.
You were happy to learn the new word, but you didn't like some of the experimentation. You were fond of the more predictable, very Jack White tracks. But just to annoy you, I am going to play Heidi Ho, which was a really, I loved it. You disliked it. It's a reinterpretation of Cab Calloway by Jack White. And as if that wasn't enough, he's got Q-Tip of Tribe Called Quest. You know, is it 100% successful? No. But I love the fact that an artist 2.5, maybe 3 decades, if you count Goober and the Peas, into his career is still surprising me. I love that Jack White surprises me. So here's Heidi Ho in tribute to Greg Kot by Jack White.
Have some of this Heidi, Heidi Ho with me. Have some nicotine, it's a scream and it's free. Have it in your food, you can have it with your tea. As you're thinking and you're pondering and wonder what it be. Heidi, Heidi Ho is a Calloway vibe. Where you're hip and you're clean and you ain't taking no jive. Speaking of jive, I think I was on a label that was a long time ago. That was a fable. Heidi, Heidi Ho, when you're looking in your mirror, when you're fit and legit and it can't get any clearer. You're the wave, you're the rave, the unanimous conclusion. Bad like Stevie Wonder with contusions. This is guitar Chuck coming for Chuck Berry. Heidi high tones from Minnie with Mariah Carey. Elijah my punk smooth brother indeed. Everybody got an inner find yours and succeed.
Jack White channeling Cab Calloway. I mean, I think he's going to be 80 and still surprising me.
Well, you know, I will say surprising. It's there's no doubt about that. I always like artists who take chances. Jack's taking a big chance on this record. It just doesn't doing it for me, but I'm glad you dig it. Next, I want to go to an artist named Charlotte Adigeri. She's an incredible French-born Belgian-Caribbean musician who is an eclectic. I mean, the kind of music that she's making is, again, much like the KOG record I just highlighted as my number 5 record. This, my number 3 record, is in a similar vein. Her collaborator on this record is a gentleman by the name of Bolas Poupoul. And they have been working together for a series of EPs, and they've contributed to a film soundtrack. Charlotte has toured with Nana Cherry. She's kind of a kindred spirit. Mm. We have talked a lot about artists who are sort of, you know, straddling continents and genres, and she is one of them. This record is just rife with political commentary, talking about issues like racism, misogyny, xenophobia. But, you know, right away you're thinking, oh my God, my brow is already furrowing just thinking about what this record could possibly be. She's wagging her finger and she's preaching at us about all these huge political and social issues. But that's not the way the record sounds at all. In fact, there's an incredible sense of humor here. This music is art pop, avant-garde dance music. There's a clear David Byrne influence in some of the music. And, you know, I'm talking about mid-period Talking Heads, that Stop Making Sense era, where David Byrne was combining all these musical styles. Very catchy, danceable songs with an adventurous twist. You're rarely going to find protest music, and I would call this a protest album in some ways. You're rarely going to find protest music that sounds this playful. The juxtapositions, the way lyrically and musically, are often humorous. There's a tongue-in-cheek aspect to this record that really redeems it from those who would say, oh, it's just a preachy protest record, and it really has no merit because she's preaching to the converted. She's not doing that at all. There's a subversive quality to it. And as I said, the music combining all these different elements and influences is undeniably catchy. Like, you're going to be listening to these songs and you're saying to yourself, okay, I can get up and dance to this as well as listen to it and get something out of it. The album is called Topical Dancer. A really good title for the record, because it really is a topical record and you're dancing to it at the same time. Here's a track from this album, from this great duo, Adigeri and Poupoul, called Thank You on Sound Opinions.
Couldn't have done this without you and your opinion. Enlighten me with your vision. I count my blessings.
Yes, I prefer my first EP too. Yeah, maybe that should make it less complex. Two projects, one artist, geez. What the hell was I even thinking?
That is Thank You from Charlotte Adagiri and Bolas Pupul from the Topical Dancer record, my number three record of the year so far. One thing I want to add, Jim, about this record, a lot of this record is based on the fact that these are two people from, you know, of Caribbean origin living in France. A lot of it's based on their daily experiences, just living in France and you sort of having some of this. Some people, the well-meaning xenophobe, you know, hey, you're really welcome here. When are you going to go back to your country?
As long
as
you live
over there.
Well, this
is my country, right? Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, I think Greg, that globe-spanning perspective that Charlotte Adagiri brought to Topical Dancer, I heard it. You heard it as well when we both reviewed the latest album by Mitski, the sixth of her career. You know, Mitski, what a fascinating artist. Mitski Miyawaki was born in Japan. Japanese was her first language. Japanese mom. Dad was a white American working for the State Department. In her first formative years, she lived not only in Japan, but Malaysia, China, Turkey, the Czech Republic, the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Much loved as an indie artist, breaking down boundaries, not only global, but musical as well, and bringing in elements of Japanese butoh dancing and theater, and really blowing minds on her last tour, after which she said, I'm retiring. Mm-hmm. Then the pandemic struck, and Mitski was in need of catharsis, and artist that she is, she turned to music. The joy of this record, Laurel Hell, and I think that has several meanings. To hell with all the praise. I'm making art to please myself. You know, the laurels that grow in nature and can be prickly but beautiful, and also Laurel Canyon. You know, much being championed again by a new generation of sad indie girls, which is sometimes a title thrown at Mitski. I don't think she deserves. The joy of Laurel Hell is that while the lyrics are very dark, she is talking about anxiety, she is questioning herself, she is ambiguous about her desire to create, although she can't imagine not creating relationships. Wow, don't even go there. She wants to cry at the start, just meeting somebody that she may wind up with. The joy of the record is that combination of dark themes and very sweet melodies. Sun and moon, sweet and sour, because in many ways her inspiration and that of her frequent collaborator, Patrick Hyland, is coming from 80s synth pop. You know, you talked about dance records earlier. You know, this is a dance record. This is one to be very happy about. Then you're going to listen to lyrics as you're dancing, and you're going to wonder. You know, I've had many of these feelings of anxiety, and what's the point of continuing during the COVID dreadfulness of the last couple of years? All of this is getting voice by Mitski in Laurel Hell, and it's just a fantastic album. We both loved it when we reviewed it. Let me play a track from it. That's Our Lamp. I'm going to go right to the end. That's Our Lamp from Mitski's Laurel Hell.
It shines like a big moon. We may be ending. I'm standing in the dark, looking up into our room where you'll be waiting for me. Thinking that's where you loved me. That's where you loved me.
That's Our Lamp by Mitski. Laurel Hell is the album. We both loved it.
Yeah, that Mitski record is great, man. What a year it's been so far, especially for women artists.
Yes.
Once again, dominating our separate polls here. Coming up, we're going to reveal our top albums of the year so far. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions.
Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported those parents back to their home countries, and kept the kids in the United States? Believe it or not, 6 years later, there are still hundreds of families who have not yet been reunited.
Though we as a community may feel hopeless at times, we recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice.
Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families ripped apart by the zero-tolerance policy of the previous administration. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family find legal representation, housing, and the counseling they need in order to heal and get back on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like us and believe that all families belong together, then join us supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. That's gum.fm/charity.
You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website, elotrolado.org/volunteer.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we are back. This week, we're sharing what we think are the best albums of 2022 so far. Mr. Cott, you're at number two. What is it?
I love the Sasami record, Squeeze. The second album from this Los Angeles-based artist, Sasami Ashworth. Classically trained multi-instrumentalist and producer. She does it all. The album cover art is immediately arresting. For people who pay attention to album covers anymore, yeah. I don't even know if people notice those things anymore. But the image of this supernatural creature, is a big part of Japanese folklore, with the body of a snake and the head of a woman. This mythological sort of concoction here is something that drives this album. You know, there are two sides to this person.
Duality,
the whole idea of being with a partner can feel like that sometimes, this disconnect. And this is what this album's about. The things with her partner are in disarray. There's two entities who are drawn to each other, but they can't connect. The parts just don't fit. And the music reflects that content. The dissonance, the violence in this music was almost stunning to me when I first heard it. I was not expecting this level of intensity.
Yeah.
You know, you're expecting a certain, classically trained artist. It's going to be kind of a delicate record. I would make comparisons to, some of the more extreme metal that you're going to hear in parts of this record. In interviews, she's talked about listening to this kind of darker, edged, heavy music and incorporating it into her vocabulary as a musician and a producer. In addition, there's some industrial elements as well.
Yeah.
So there's this harder edge side combined with a more sensitive sensibility. But the sudden shifts in texture, mood, these clashing elements, quiet, loud, pretty and ugly, that's exactly what that album cover is talking about. These contrasts coming together. How does this fit? It's a perfectly realized concept, even though she probably wouldn't call it a concept album. It's a perfectly realized whole. The record makes sense, especially when you listen to it in its entirety. There's a few tracks that are softer and more melodic, but the stuff I'm drawn to is the ferocious head-spinning stuff,
you know?
Here's a track from the Squeeze album, my number two record of the year so far. It's called Say It from Sasami on Sound Opinions.
Yeah.
That is Say It from Sasami's Squeeze, my number two record of the year. You know, people say, how do you decide on what your top 10 or whatever are going to be at any particular point? And I go, it's the stuff I'd listen to the most. Like, even when I don't have to listen to it, I'm listening to it because I liked it so much.
Well, what I kept flashing on when I've listened to that record is Milwaukee Metal Fest. Did you ever make the trek to Eagles Ballroom?
Right, yeah.
You know, it's like 50 death metal bands, one after another. I can see Sasami in the middle of one of those bills.
Oh, absolutely.
And the metalheads, like, embracing her. Just great, great stuff. And, Greg, talk about ferocity and holding their own, young women doing that. 11 to 17 years old, the members of the Linda Lindas, of Asian American and Latinx descent. 2021, everybody had to love it, who cared at all about rock and roll, punk rock, pop punk. Racist Sexist Boy goes viral in the spring of last year on TikTok and all the online forums. These young women, these girls playing at the Los Angeles Public Library.
Mm-hmm.
And Epitaph Records, one of the coolest indie records in America, signs them up. And I think there was a lot of skepticism. Is this going to be worth a full album? Oh, why, yes, it is.
Mm.
Growing Up, the actual debut by the Linda Lindas, ends with Racist Sexist Boy. 9 songs before that, every single one of them, every bit as great. You know, if you are a father, if you are a partner, if you are a boyfriend who cares that your significant other is, you know, self-empowered and respecting herself, and we're recording this on a difficult day in American history, given the Supreme Court, you've got to applaud this incredible energy and power and melody and accomplishment. This is a great band. If I didn't tell you, if I was playing this for you for the first time, and I didn't tell you they were aged 11 to 17, it wouldn't even register. I mean, this band knows what it wants. It knows what it is. I got to play Nino, one of my favorite tracks, right? Obviously, Racist Sexist Boy is an anthem for the ages. Taking on all the boys who would minimize them throughout the album. And talking about, as the second song, the title track, Growing Up, talking about the difficulties of growing up as a person of color, as a young woman, surrounded by a patriarchal society, even among 13-year-old boys. But I got to play Nino, because this is a great metaphorical song about a cat. Right? You think it's about a cat, but I have a cat. His name is Nino. He's a savage cat, a killer of mice and rats. But I really think the Linda Lindas are talking about a young woman, you know, and the with the attitude of a cat, that it can purr and snuggle up to you and then also strike out if you get on its bad side. Oh, Nino by the Linda Lindas. You know, Greg, I put that up there with a classic from 2.5 decades ago now, Veruca Salt's Seether.
Yeah.
Oh, just great, great song.
Well, and, you know, the early stuff from The Regrets or something like that.
Yeah.
It's very much in that vein, and you love to see it. You know, women picking up guitars in their teens and they feel empowered by it. That's an amazing thing to see happen. Speaking of empowered women, Sharon Van Etten, wow. I don't think she's ever made a bad record. I think they've all been good, but this is...
We've been fans throughout.
To my mind, the masterpiece. This is a record I cannot stop listening to. It's just so powerful. It speaks to me on so many levels because I think it sort of summarizes what it's felt like to be on this planet, certainly in this country, for the last 2.5 years with the pandemic sort of hanging over us and everybody's mood altered by that and the events that have been happening in the country.
You ain't kidding.
Even people living together during this time feel isolated, alone, remote, cut off. Not enough people are really acknowledging that. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be alone to feel alone, you know? And, and I think that's what this record is sort of talking about. That combined with the fact that as a singer, Sharon Van Etten continues to evolve in a way that's just staggering. I mean, the vocal performance on this record, I would almost say it's like a soul record. The way she's singing, the wrenching, pleading, staggering quality in her voice. You know, the fact that she's able to allow the cracks to show in a song like Darkness Fades, where you can hear the emotion in her voice. And like, you know, a producer might say, oh, let's redo that so you don't, your voice doesn't crack. And because she's self-directed too, mm-hmm. is like, mm-hmm. No, I want that in there. I want that to be part of this record. So that veracity is always on. You never sense that there's a dishonest note in this record at all. It's very upfront, very honest. Hard on sleeve. I mean, it's a cliche in a way, but here, this record really owns that.
Well, and Sharon is just so egoless. You know, I am creating this masterpiece, and there's no attitude whatsoever.
Yeah, I think the song is the guide. You know, I'm going to do what the song is telling me to do, and I'm not going to edit myself. I'm not going to filter it. I'm going to say it straight and direct. At the same time, this could have very easily been a melodramatic kind of record. It could have been sort of too over the top, but she pulls it in at the right moments. There's a lot of nuance in these performances, and that's what I'm really impressed by, the variety of vocal approaches and the way she's able to take these songs and feel like she's living them as she's singing. It is really impressive to me, surrounded by arrangements that are really strong. I mean, there's everything from sort of an industrial strength quality of a song like Headspace to quieter stuff. And that juxtaposition of Headspace into Come Back, that to me is the single finest moment on any record that I've heard this year. I mean, that's the moment that just kind of grabs me. Those two songs,
that's almost, your first drum
they
set.
Belong together.
Okay,
you know,
right.
They belong together. The way she sequenced the record, and you don't talk about sequencing anymore, right? Because who listens to albums front to back? Well, we do.
Yeah.
And this record works as an album in that sense. It's talking about her life in a very vulnerable way, and then the way the record is sequenced, both not only lyrically but musically, really connects. I want to play a track from this amazing record. We've been going about this all wrong, is what it's called, my number one record of the year from Sharon Van Etten. And I want to play the second half of that twofer, the Headspace into Come Back. Here's Come Back from Sharon Van Etten on Sound Opinions. Come Back from Sharon Van Etten, my number one record. We've been going about this all wrong, but this record is all right with me.
I love that record as well, Greg. Great stuff from Sharon Van Etten. And for my number one record, I have to start with a question for you. Is your muffin buttered? Is it? You're supposed to say, excuse me.
Yeah, well, exactly. Like if we were the two singers in Wet Leg, we would have that sort of dialogue. It's these two women are amazing and funny and at the same time subversive.
Ryan Teasdale, Hester Chambers, what a duo. They are on the Isle of Wight. It is the middle of the pandemic. They are indie rock veterans, you know, just about pushing 30 now. They've been around as artists and as young women, and they wanted to have fun. Right? And their definition of fun is fueled by indie rock heroes like Ty Segall, right? And also just classic pop by like Jane Birkin. All of this stuff went into the mixer, and they were devoted to trying to make each other laugh. June 2021, more than a year ago now, Chase Long. They're single. Some people, ugly Americans, would say Chase Lounge, right? All right. Takes the world by storm, the indie rock world anyway. It's funny. It's melodic. What else did they have in them? Well, they had an entire album, self-titled Wet Leg, beginning to end brilliant in jokes. that never are so in that we can't get into them as well, mm-hmm. right? They are disdainful of young men who do not respect them. They have that in common with the Linda Lindas, and they like to have a laugh at their expense. I think of the song, "Your Mum," "You Are Mum," and many borderline racy, you know, "I think about you and I feel sorry for your mum. You know, what right do you have to think about me as you touch yourself?" All these lines, one after another, none of which would mean anything if the guitar playing wasn't so great. The melody so strong, the force of the rhythm so undeniable. You know, they said they wanted to split the difference between idols and that fantastic Megan Thee Stallion Cardi B immortal single WAP. And they did. They did it. They did it. Making jokes about buttering muffins along the way. We played a bunch of songs when we reviewed it. At that point, I pulled a cot and it was April. And I said, you know, I don't think there's going to be a better record this year. I've yet to hear a better one. I'm hearing a lot of great records. If there is a better record than Wet Leg in 2022 for the second half of this year, then it's going to be
great year.
Let me play another song by Wet Leg. This is "I Don't Want to Go Out." You know those nights where you want to have fun, you're bored silly, but you have to talk yourself into going out, and especially, you know, the irony of 2 years plus of pandemic is I wasn't able to go out anyway. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I didn't, I mean, maybe I wanted to go out, but I don't want to go out. Here's Wet Leg.
I don't want to go out.
Wet Leg, "I Don't Want to Go Out." You have it at number 4 on your list. How could you not?
Well, you know, I got to say, this is the only record on our top 10s. It's an overlap.
Is that true?
I would say, I think so, right? Am I right, Alex?
I thought you loved the Mitski record.
Yeah, I love the Mitski, but it's not in my
top
10.
Wow.
It's probably in my top 12, you know?
Sharon Van Etten must be like at number 11 for me.
Yeah, right.
Because I loved it. But see, we're going to juggle these lists as the year goes on.
Sure.
And then, you know, we go back to these records, we play them again, and sometimes they don't hold up as well, and sometimes they take on extra added power.
Yeah, well, it's good to have too many choices. That's the way I look at it, you know?
It is.
We're doing one thing right in this world, and that's making music that's really good.
Some people, not us. We don't make music ourselves. But that wraps up our best albums of 2022 so far. And now, as always, we want to hear from you. Leave a message on our website, a voicemail. We got a nifty new widget working just great. soundopinions.org. Tell us your album of the year so far and why. Meanwhile, Mr. Cott, what's on the show next week?
Next week, Jim, we've got an interview with music supervisor for TV and film, Susan Jacobs, and the story of one Malcolm McLaren, the impresario. And don't forget to check out our bonus podcast feed for a new addition to the Desert Island Jukebox.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this program belong solely to Sound Opinions and not necessarily to Columbia College Chicago or our sponsors. Thanks, as always, to our Patreon supporters. Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, and our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo. Our social media consultant is Katie Cott.